first one? Anybody remember? Raise your hand. Nobody knows the first commandment? This is bad. This is really bad. Annette? That's the second commandment. But that's good. You jumped ahead, but it's good. Christina? Nope, that's not one of the Ten Commandments. It's a good commandment. Jesus said one of the most important, but it's from Deuteronomy. Yes? No other God. So the first commandment, which we looked at in detail together a few weeks ago, no other gods. Then the second one, no graven image. The third? Say it, Roy. Say it. Say it out loud. Don't take God's name in vain. So the first three deal with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. The fourth one, very special, as we saw last week, it was this special Jewish commandment, a sign between God and His chosen people, Israel. We found that it will be reinstituted in the tribulation and in the kingdom, because those are both Jewish dispensations. So we will be celebrating the Sabbath when we come back for the kingdom, and that's okay. But this fifth one begins the first of the six commandments that address our relationship with other humans. And this fifth commandment is one that has not only been abused of recent, but even when Jesus came and began to preach, it was the commandment that he chose to point out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And that is, honor thy father and thy mother. So that's what it says here, verse 12, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So honor thy father and mother. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word in our hearts. May we be listening and learning and responsive to the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. As with the other commandments that we saw, this one also carried, you guessed it, the death penalty. Go over to chapter 21, verse 15. And so far, of the first five, all five carried the death penalty. Make things really simple. In the Old Testament, there were very few repeat offenders. Amen? Because they were dead. Verse 15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Verse 17, and he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Look at Deuteronomy 21. So we're establishing here that this fifth commandment to honor our parents, God took it extremely seriously to the point of the death penalty for breaking it. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. They shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. People would read that and say, how cruel of those parents. But the parents wanted to obey God too. And they knew what the commandment was. So we see here that in Old Testament days, this fifth and very important commandment carried the death penalty if you broke it. So as early as Proverbs, so let's turn there, verse chapter 28, men were trying to get around it. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 24. And you'll see this phrase, or similar phrase, repeated by Jesus. So Proverbs 28, 24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. So whoso robs his parents but says it's not a sin because they're my parents, it's obviously wickedness. So we come now to the New Testament, Mark chapter 7, where Jesus is rebuking the scribes and Pharisees, which he did quite often, as you know. And here he is using this fifth commandment as an example of pointing out their hypocrisy. Because remember, which commandment did they give Jesus the hardest time about? The Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. He could do the most amazing things for people. He could heal and help people. But if it was on the Sabbath day, it drove the Pharisees to such anger that they literally wanted to kill Jesus. That commandment was so important to them. And yet Jesus is pointing out to them in one of those incidences that, yes, you're so vehement about this commandment, but what about the fifth commandment? Notice Mark chapter 7, verse 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. And so what they were saying was they can reach a point as a child, as an adult child, of saying, we don't have to honor our parents anymore. And that's exactly what verse 12 is saying. From then on, do no more for your parents. And so what Jesus was teaching, two things here. Obviously that this commandment still stands today for us in the church. But also that it never ends for us as long as our parents are alive. That there is no end point. Like when we move out of the house or whatever, it doesn't work that way with God's program. So when we get to the New Testament, we find out that children are to obey their parents. Which, they love that. Ephesians 6:1, let's turn there. Anybody who's brought up children knows how much they love Ephesians 6:1. So from the child's perspective, before they leave the house, Ephesians 6:1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children are commanded to obey their parents by Almighty God, our Creator. Amen? Colossians 3:20, we'll see it again. Let's turn over there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So as with wives submitted to their husbands, God says there are no exceptions. People want there to be, but they aren't in the Scriptures. Now God said that in the end times, if you go to 1 Timothy 3, which is a passage about the end times, God said that in the end times, one of the characteristics of the end times would be disregard for this command. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a... Am I in the right place? It must be 2 Timothy chapter 3. Sorry, I wrote the wrong reference. Yes, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. There it is. So God said that one of the characteristics of the last days would be children would be disobedient to their parents, that they would not follow God's, their Creator's command to obey their parents. And of course, we see it around us all the time, don't we? Now, this commandment is unique in that, if you go back to Ephesians 6, God says it is the first commandment with promise. This is how it's described here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. So there's been four commandments given here in Exodus 20. None of them contained a promise, but the fifth one does. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So the promise, of course, in Exodus 20:12, it says that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So God, in this fifth commandment, and the only commandment of the ten that contained a promise with it. If you will obey this commandment, God says he will bless you in a special way. So what about after we leave home? The Bible is very clear when we're at home. We have to obey our parents. What about after we leave home? We see that the Pharisees did their best to try to get out of it, if you will. Come to a point where they said, I no longer have to honor my parents. And you know, we see it all around us. We hear it all the time, even among Christians. My parents were bad. My parents were terrible. They raised me wrong. They didn't treat me right. Whatever. But where does forgiveness come in? You see, that's the problem, isn't it? We're Christians. And show me any verse in the Bible that gives us exceptions to forgiveness. You're not going to find it. We're always commanded to forgive. Did our parents make mistakes? Of course they did. Did we as parents make mistakes? Of course we did. We're sinners. So we make a lot of mistakes, don't we? And our parents made a lot of mistakes. Some of them may be major mistakes. But there's got to come a point in your life when you own up to the fact that it is what it is, and I need to forgive them. Amen? But we cannot use it as an excuse. So go to 1 Timothy 5, if you would. You cannot use it as an excuse to say, I don't have to honor my parents because they weren't good parents. That's not in the Bible. It just isn't there. And yet, yes, the world does it all the time, but Christians do this. They don't talk to their parents. They don't have communication with their parents. They have broken fellowship with their parents. And they justify it. Well, they come up with ways to rationalize it by saying, well, they were bad parents or it's all their fault, blah, 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 blah. What about forgiveness? Amen? There's no exceptions to forgiveness. So there has to come that point where we forgive. And when does the honor end? When they die. How do we know this? From 1 Timothy chapter 5. So let's look at a couple verses in this chapter. Verse 4. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So this is a situation where, remember, there was no socialism in Bible days. Then he would not work, neither should he eat. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So if a woman's husband died, since typically the men earned most of the living, if not all, then she was in trouble. She needed help. And Tim Paul is saying, in New Testament days, there is going to be an occasion where the church needs to step in and help a widow. But then he gives very explicit requirements, if you will, of what the situation has to be with that widow. She has to have no male children alive. She has to have only been married once and has to be... She's still serving the Lord faithfully and so forth. He calls them widows indeed. But what he says here is that if she has children or nephews, they should take care of her. That's what it's telling us, isn't it? Doesn't matter how old she is. If she's lost her husband and she needs someone to take care of her, it should be who? Her son or her nephew. That's pretty clear. Look down at verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. You can't get any more clear than that, can you? That if your mother loses her husband and she needs someone to take care of her, who's supposed to do it? You. The kids. and that is part of honoring. So we do not find in the Scriptures exceptions to this commandment. We find it repeated in the New Testament, like the first three. For us as followers of Jesus Christ, he said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. How many people, we won't know till we get to heaven, how many people's lives have been cut short because they cut themselves off from the promise, the only commandment with promise, because they refused to honor their parents. Think about that question. Because God said that thy days may be long. Well, what's the inverse of that? That if we choose not to honor our parents, that our days won't be long. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it? How many people, God said, you're not going to live long because you're not honoring your parents. You might say, oh, that's silly. Well, not according to Scripture. It's clear, isn't it? And then we get to Ephesians, and he says, the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That thou mayest live long. Isn't that clearly stated there in Ephesians 6:3? That thou mayest live long on the earth. In other words, God promises that if we will honor our parents and obey this commandment, it could have an impact on how long we live. Does God keep track of all of this? Of course he does. He even knows how many hairs are on our head or not. In some cases. But God knows everything. Amen? God even knows if we're honoring our parents. So we're commanded to. Amen? So if you're in a situation where you're estranged from your parents, do your best to fix it. It might take some humility. It might take some graveling. It might, who knows what it takes, but get that reconciled if at all possible. I hear too many stories of people who don't have any contact with their parents. And it shouldn't be that way. It's just not scriptural. And we're going to get to heaven and probably be surprised. This commandment is so powerful that it will contain such a promise in the New Testament, live long. But the inverse is just as powerful. If we choose to dishonor, will we live long? So think about that. And you know, this was a big deal in the early church. Look at Acts chapter 6. This very thing, widows being taken care of, was the very thing that required the choosing of the first deacons. It wasn't doctrine. It wasn't a church fight over things. No, it was widows. Of all the things it could have been, it was widows. Notice verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. So here's what was going on. The church is growing. And now the Grecians are saying, hey, hold on. Your widows are being taken care of, but our widows are not being taken care of in the daily ministration. In other words, the church was practicing what God commanded them to do, and there were widows who didn't have children that could take care of them. They lost their husband, so they have no means to live. And that's where the church stepped in and helped those particular widows. But again, God lays it out in the pastoral epistles, some very explicit requirements before the church had to take care of a widow. But there were some who met those requirements, and the Grecians were saying, our widows are not being taken care of. I love the apostles' response in verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. We're not going to deal with this ourselves. We're going to delegate. Amen? So you choose, verse 3, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You could call this the first recorded church business meeting, I guess. And it was over widows who didn't have children to take care of them, or nephews. And the deacons, that was their job. You guys make sure these widows get some food. Isn't that something? And it all stems back to the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Because the other widows would have either been living with their sons or nephews, or their sons or nephews would be taking care of them financially or food or whatever. These were only widows who met the criteria where they didn't have any other way to survive. This commandment is big. Amen? And we need to make sure we take heed to it. It is one of the ones that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That includes to honor our parents. And if we will obey it, God promises that we'll live longer. We found one of the keys to a longer life in the Bible. Amen? You know how many times God talks about living longer? Not very many. But he attaches it to the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful truth. I pray, Lord, if there's any in our midst, even online, that, Lord, need to work on reconciliation with their parents, I pray they would do it, no matter what it takes, that they might honor their parents as you commanded. Lord, if they have opportunity, that they would be a blessing and a help to their parents if they need it. Lord, that we might be obedient to your command for us to honor our father and our mother. So thank you for this amazingly profound truth attached with this promise. And we are grateful for your word that makes things so clear for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.